If I say there is hope for a complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a live Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in. Welcome to one of many episodes covering my visit to the Global Conference on Brain Injury that took place in Dublin around the start of April 2023. It's been my honor to attend and record presentations given by many prominent researchers and practitioners in the field of brain injury. I learned things that I didn't yet know and spoke with people I was really looking forward to meeting someday. Now I want to share everything that I learned, saw, and heard with you so that you have access to the newest insights directly from the top brain injury researchers and doctors who found them. Let's get started with today's episode. On the first day of the conference in Dublin, I went to a seminar by the Concussion Care Center of Virginia. You may remember the clinic's founder, Dr. Sassler, from season 1 of Concussion Stories. As the name implies, the center specializes in post-concussion care and has a specific focus on treating the neck and eyes in order to heal lingering concussion symptoms. In this first episode, you'll get to know Sarah Etheridge, the clinic's physical therapist, or PT. In her experience, a lot of concussion symptoms actually come from neck problems. This is why, she says, it's so important for doctors to check the neck in patients with concussion. Let's hear it directly from Sarah.
In a cohort where they looked at those with concussion and those with concussion plus cervical impairments, well, the group that had neck impairments, almost, as Dr. Zasler mentioned, almost 30% had zero complaints of neck pain or stiffness. Okay, so if we're just asking the patient, hey, does your neck bother you? And they're like, eh, it's a little stiff, but no, that's not really what's bothering me. We're going to miss them. So maybe those with concussion and neck injury have more complaints about neck pain or have more complaints about dizziness versus those that just have a concussion. Maybe they just complain more about mood changes or sleep disturbances. That's not the case. These symptoms are evenly distributed between these two patient populations, those with concussion and those with concussion plus cervical impairments. So we have to be checking the neck. So the patients who come see us, they're the ones who aren't getting better. Well, the literature also shows that those are the ones who are more likely to be having cervical impairments. And if you treat those impairments, they feel better.
Sarah continues to point out the muscles and nerves that may cause specific headaches. If you're not already watching this episode over on liveyana.com or YouTube, you might want to go there in order to see the slides and the palpation movements Sarah makes with her hands.
The upper trapezius is common to come right into the temple area. It will have sort of a ram horn distribution and is commonly involved. The SCM is also one that can contribute to not just headaches, but also tinnitus. So patients sometimes will say, hey, I feel fullness in my ear or cotton in my ear. The suboccipital muscles, again, this one's almost always involved to some extent, especially if they have occipital neuralgia going on. But this one can give a lot of retroorbital pain as well. And you know, this is definitely in those patients who sit with that forward head, who are office workers that are on screens and are doing that upper cervical extension. The semispinalis and splenius muscle groups, again, refer up into the head. And are important to check. So those are all ones that I'll check on Mary here in a second. All right, so nerves are something, these are the nerve groups that I always check on my patients that are complaining about headache. Worried about the occipital nerves, and 50% of patients that have occipital neuralgia, they also complain about dizziness. So if your patient's complaining about a really intense headache, it can be brief, it can be persistent, it's retroorbital, and are also having dizziness, and they struck the back of their head, or they've had symptoms for a long time, please, please, please check these nerves. The supratrochlear and supraorbital nerves run in the front, they're branches off the trigeminal nerve. I don't find these as commonly involved unless the patient has struck their forehead or they have a migraine component to their headache. And they've been having headaches for a while, again, because these are branches off the trigeminal nerve. There are neuromodulation devices out there like Cephaly that can be a non-invasive way to help these patients. So with the occipital nerves, to palpate these, anatomy is a little different on everybody. So I go and I find the mastoid process, which is the bone right behind the ear. Then I find the external occipital protuberance, which is the bony knot kind of at the base of the skull, and I run my fingers right through there. About a third of the way in on that diagonal line is going to be your lesser occipital nerve, and it tends to run in a little bit of a trough. So sometimes I'll run my finger like this, and I'll find the groove, and then I'll palpate along it. Again, because people's anatomy is a little bit different, so this is the way I do it. And then about a third of the way in, from the external occipital protuberance should be your greater occipital nerve. And again, I sort of find the little trough that it runs in. Not everybody can feel it, but some people have that divot because nerves tend to run in a groove. And then I'll palpate along the lines of that. And when it's hot and irritable, Mary, would you agree it's very painful for somebody to poke? Yeah, on the back of your skull. It's really obvious. So it's usually, you know, one of the things that I think is hard, especially if somebody's been in pain for a while, they can have some peripheral sensitization and some central sensitization, so they're a little bit tender everywhere. But what I'm really looking for is that person who's like, yikes, and is trying to like jump off my table. It's like, thanks, nice to meet you, I gotta go, bye. That's the kind of reaction I'm looking for. If they're a little bit tender and then they sort of have this delayed reaction where they then maybe within the next minute say, ooh, I've got that headache going on. Then I start to think, okay, maybe it's irritable, but maybe it's not the primary driver of their pain, but it's still something to address. And then we may try them on something like an icing program that's, again, very benign treatment that doesn't have a lot of down side effects.
Sarah, may I just make a quick comment?
Yes.
One caveat I would add, when you find people who have occipital neuralgia, they typically also have involvement of suboccipital musculature. If you try and inject to treat the occipital neuralgia before treating the myofascial dysfunction, the occipital neuralgia will likely just come back. So you need to treat the muscular component first, and then often the occipital neuralgia will abate. If it doesn't at that point, you can consider injection or neuromodulation, which we've been using for a number of years with good success with Cephaly, as Sarah mentioned, as well as a device called Relevion, which you may or may not have available here in Ireland, but that can also do occipital nerve stimulation externally.
And to ice. Yep.
While they're waiting to see one of them, I tell them to ice.
That tends to work well. The nerves are really superficial, so if they're really inflamed, again, it can get a little dicey if they've had pain for a while and have some central sensitization. They can have a little bit of hyperalgesia towards cold in particular. But 10 to 15 minutes icing a day is what I tell my patients to do, whether it's a good day or bad day. And I get them started on that because it's really easy to implement. And they can usually tell me, yes, that makes a difference for me, or no, it doesn't. And then that can lead us down the track of, okay, do we want to do neuromodulation? Do we want to do injections while I'm working on your suboccipital muscles? It can help guide treatment. So I think ice is easy. It's cheap. Why not?
Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifeyana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps, and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the LifeYana email list while you're there so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by LifeYana. May you be well, and may you be happy.